Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hey, good morning to you. Sherry Brownrigg here. So happy to be with you. Teresa Tomeo is in Rome on pilgrimage. She's there with Kelly Walquist with Women in the New Evangelization and so many wonderful pilgrims that are there with them. So make sure you keep them in your prayers. And I'll be doing the show the rest of the week. So I'm so excited about that because this hour we really have a lot of great things going on. Man, I'm excited. Going to be talking with Lisa Wheeler shortly. And we'll be talking about foster care and adoption really through the eyes of our faith. And it's really going to be a great topic. I'm so excited about that. And then we'll be traveling to La Crosse, Wisconsin to talk about the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So many folks don't even know that it's there. And we're going to tell you all about it and why you need to go. And Elizabeth Westhoff will unpack that for us. And she is a delight as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Here's a number if you want to join in at any time, 877-573-7825. And I have to admit to you this morning, I have a little bit of jealousy of Teresa. She's on pilgrimage in Rome. Have you been on pilgrimage? Oh, my friend, if you have not, you have got to go. You have got to go. It's really, really something. And I have been, to Rome a number of times. I can't remember exactly how many times, but if you're, as a Catholic, thinking about where do I want to go on pilgrimage, because, you know, there are pilgrimages everywhere, France, Poland, you know, so many, Germany, but really the two that you should put at the top of your list for every Catholic are the Holy Land and Rome. Now, going to Rome, well, of course, it's the seat of our faith. You know, we know that. The Vatican's there. But the thing that it does for you is history, literally, the history of our faith literally unfolds before your eyes. I mean, it's just profound. I love being there at the Vatican. And I remember one time, the very first time that I went was during John Paul II's pontificate. And we were there at a canonization and just in the audience. And, of course, saw him at the Wednesday audience as well. But, you know, I thought when I went there and saw him that I would just be, oh, you know, kind of all a flutter and really, really not actually able to contain myself, you know, my excitement. But instead, something amazing happened. I felt like I was home. I felt like, oh, there's my papa on earth. There he is. And it felt like I was in the church, you know, the parish of our entire faith. Like I go to my parish every Sunday and many times during the week, and there's my priest there on the altar. I felt like, well, that's the priest who's serving us as the church. And it was just a profound grace that the Lord gave me to really help me to see that, yes, this is our home. And so if you get a chance to go to the Vatican, it's really something. You can see all sorts of different things as well. I mean, the chapels and the altars, and love traveling with a priest and the priest who gets to celebrate Mass at one of those side altars. It's really a joy for them as well. And the catacombs. Now, I've actually never been in the catacombs. I'm a little jealous here, too. I hope this is okay. Holy jealousy, maybe? Okay, we'll chalk it up as that. But I once went with my husband and Jeff Cavins and his wife and family, and his girls were young at that point. Jeff and I had work to do, so we did work. But my husband and his wife and the girls, they went to the catacombs, and they went all over through Rome, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. My husband to this day still talks about it, and that was an experience that I missed. But you have to go because you really see, you know, the Christians, early Christians in our faith and what they gave to us. And I was especially moved by Castel Sant'Angelo. That's right across the river from the Vatican. And, you know, that's you see this long kind of a, I don't know what you would call it. It's not a tunnel because it's above ground, but it's sort of like a, you know, walkway that goes from the Vatican to it. And that's where the Holy Father, I can't remember which one, the Holy Father escaped really to save his life. And just seeing that history there was just phenomenal. Now, going to the Holy Land, a completely different experience because then you're going to the source of our faith. Whereas Rome is the seat of our faith, this is the source of our faith. I have to tell you, in the Holy Land, oh my goodness, Scripture just comes alive. You know, when you read Scripture and you're in the New Testament and you're reading about Christ walking from here to there, you know, he walks and he goes into the desert and he does this, you actually get to see the places where all of this happened. And it, you know, there was a lot of, oh, okay, I see. So, you know, this little donkey ride that Mary and Joseph took was no small thing. I mean, it goes over hills and rocky territory and barren territory. And, you know, it's just phenomenal what it does for your faith. You get to actually travel in the footsteps of Christ. Now, I've been to the Holy Land twice. And the second time that I went, it was really quite incredible because I actually went there for work. So that was not a pilgrimage, but I had some downtime. So, of course, where am I going to go? Well, I went to the tomb of Christ. I was in Jerusalem staying there, and I could just walk there. And I just sat outside the tomb of Christ in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and it was really something. I think I sat there for about 2 hours and just prayed and meditated. And during that 2 hours, so many people came and sat next to me and talked to me. And I talked to people from probably 12 different countries at that time. And it was really a profound experience. And I thank God for the beauty of having that beautiful experience there, because it was really enjoyable too. And I remember once I was there with the Franciscans on the first one, and they put us right in front as we were finishing the Via Dolorosa. And so I was one of the first people that got to go into the tomb of Christ as that ended. And, you know, it was such a surprise to me, because all of a sudden I was in there and I remember just bursting out in tears, you know, and just thinking about my Lord. Such a grace. Anyway, if you get a chance to go on pilgrimage, absolutely, please, please do it. Please say yes to that. And right now, at about 7 minutes past the hour, it is time for news. A winter storm spreading across the eastern half of the country is turning into a killer. NBC meteorologist Bill Caron says there isn't much snow left in the system as it moves into the East Coast.
We get the lake effect snow bands forming here between Cleveland and Erie, also downwind of Lake Michigan. So that's kind of expected this time of year. Just a little bit around the Capital District, maybe an inch or so. Higher elevations of northern New England could get a little bit of snow.
The storm is blamed for at least 4 deaths on slick roads in the Midwest and the Plains. More than 1,000 flights have been canceled at Chicago's 2 big airports. Forecasters say the storm will spread from the Ohio Valley to the Northeast today. Snow will fall as far south as Tennessee, and the heaviest snowfall is expected in upstate New York. President Trump today honored the men and women who have served, yesterday rather, honored the men and women who served the U.S. at the Veterans Day Parade in New York City, and there were some protesters that disrupted the parade, but it did continue on. Australia's High Court will announce tomorrow whether it will hear Cardinal George Pell's appeal of his conviction on sexual abuse charges. Last year, Cardinal Pell was convicted of sexually abusing 2 boys in the 1990s, not long after he was appointed Archbishop of Melbourne. The case against Pell was based solely on the testimony of the surviving victim. The other victim never spoke on the abuse and died of a drug overdose in 2014. Pell is the highest-ranking Catholic Church official to be convicted of sex abuse. Former President Jimmy Carter will undergo surgery today. NBC's Blaine Alexander has the details.
The 95-year-old was admitted to an Atlanta hospital Monday evening, where he will undergo a procedure to remove pressure on his brain caused by bleeding after a series of recent falls.
The Carter Center says the 95-year-old is resting comfortably and his wife Rosalyn is with him. In October, Carter fell twice. Once it led to stitches over his left eye, and the second time the fall caused a minor pelvic fracture. The Centers for Disease Control says Maryland is one of 2 states that are already seeing a high number of flu cases this season. The other state is Louisiana. Dr. Lisa Kirkland of Sinai Hospital says the virus is highly contagious.
It's spread by droplet, you know, coughing, sneezing, wiping your nose. Kids wipe their nose all the time. And then just touching other kids, you can get it on, you know, on surfaces, doorknobs.
The CDC says the flu has been reported in at least half of the regions in Maryland. The flu season could run through March. The flu shot is recommended by doctors as the best defense against the flu. A Detroit hospital says it has carried out a first-of-its-kind procedure in the U.S. for a vaping-related injury. Henry Ford Health System says doctors performed a double lung transplant on a man and will discuss it at a press conference today. Doctors note the patient's use of e-cigarettes left him with irreparable lung damage. The CDC says there are more than 2,000 cases of vaping-related injuries in the U.S. in one American territory, and 39 deaths have been reported. As protests continue in Hong Kong, an anti-government demonstrator has been shot by a police officer. This protester says she doesn't see the protests coming to an end anytime soon.
There's no solution because the government never responds to any of our requests on the police violence.
Video of the shooting reportedly shows an officer firing several rounds toward a group of protesters who were surrounding him. One demonstrator was hit and is said to be in critical condition. The shooting comes amidst 23 weeks of protests in the city. Monday morning's events had demonstrators blocking streets, stopping traffic, and clashing with riot police. Hong Kong officials confirm Monday morning's shooting and say that the officers follow strict rules when it comes to discharging their weapons. Finally, Disney's new streaming service launches today. Disney Plus will offer hundreds of Disney-related movies and television series for $6.99 a month. Hollywood Reporter digital media editor Natalie Jarvie expects the service to be a major player in the market.
They're going to be a real serious competitor to Netflix, the first real competitor at a global scale that Netflix has had in a long time.
The Disney Plus lineup includes everything from classic animated features such as Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs to a huge collection of Marvel cartoons, movies, and almost every Star Wars film. Disney CEO Bob Iger says nearly every movie from the Disney catalog will eventually be available on Disney Plus. Subscribers can also opt for a monthly $12.99 bundle that includes Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. A dizzying array of things to choose from to watch for entertainment. Well, that's the news there. I'm Sherry Brownrigg. Boy, there's a lot more coming up on the show today. It's going to be a great one. Lisa Wheeler's coming up next. We're going to be talking with her about adoption and foster care. She and her husband have had 15 foster children. They've opened their home, to so many kids who needed them, and they've adopted a number of them. So we'll be talking about what that looks like as a Catholic family. And also later on in the hour, we are going to be hearing about Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine. Yeah, well, you're thinking this is Mexico City, right, Sherry? No, it's in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And Elizabeth Westhoff is going to be with us, and she'll be talking about some of the events coming up and why you should go there on pilgrimage as soon as possible. That is all to come here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us.
In hundreds of counties in Appalachia in the South, there is no Catholic presence. There are no priests, brothers, sisters, or lay ministers. The less than 1% of the population that is Catholic often struggles to participate in the life of the Church. Glen Mary Home Missioners is the only Catholic community exclusively committed to serving this part of the United States. To learn more about joining Glen Mary Home Missioners in this mission, visit glenmary.org. That's glenmary.org.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
How can you teach your children to live their pro-life mission beyond the walls of your home or parish? One way is to engage your family's values in pro-life Catholic healthcare options, like CMF Curo. CMF Curo is rooted in the Church's teachings on life and family, and offers affordable healthcare sharing options that can save you and your family thousands. Learn more about the CMF Curo Catholic Healthcare Community and find healthcare options at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
It's 15 past the hour. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo, who is on pilgrimage. Lucky and blessed Teresa. She's out there in Rome. She's with Kelly Wahlquist and Women in the New Evangelization. Hey, keep those ladies in your prayers, too, by the way, because many of them have never been on pilgrimage before, and so this is really going to be a supercharged event for their faith. And got Lisa Wheeler with us this hour. Lisa is the president of Carmel Communications, but more importantly, she is an awesome mom. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Sherry. I'm so happy to be here. We've never done this before, so this is kind of cool. I'm excited.
I know. I've never actually gotten to interview you before. Lisa and I have known each other for a number of years, and this is really exciting to be able to talk about adoption and foster care. And I want to give the phone number out for our listeners. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you certainly may. 877-573-7825, toll-free 877-573-7825. You know, I've been teasing this, Lisa, telling folks that you and your husband, Tim, you've had 15 children that you have fostered in your home. And I think for a lot of folks, maybe some who have fostered, maybe some who have never done it, they think, wow, you guys must really be people of faith. Can you talk a little bit about you're awesome. You're at the pinnacle. You're the person we want to be. Can you talk a little bit about this, though, why you and Tim decided that this is something you wanted to do?
Sure. First of all, there are a lot of foster parents out there that have fostered way more than my husband and I. It's just we happened to be the couple that ends up with children that come to us at stay a little bit longer than others. You know, a lot of foster parents that are kind of in the throes of foster parenting, you know, children will stay anywhere from a weekend to a month, you know, to 3 months or longer. And for my husband and I, in this stage of foster parenting, we tend to receive children that are longer placements. So usually 6 months or more, and that's why we've only had 15 children that have come and gone from our home. But I have friends that have fostered 40, 50, 60 children course of their foster parenting journey. But the way that we got into fostering and now we've adopted two children, we're in the process of adopting three more. So by early next year, we'll have five that are part of our forever family. Mm-hmm. But my husband and I was infertile for about 15 years of our marriage, and we tried, you know, all of the usual suspects in terms of trying to correct, you know, that part of our life, and we were unable to do it naturally. And so after discerning and praying about how we wanted to build our family, we ended up being able to attend an informational session on fostering. And my husband, who is really very service-oriented, you know, very much about giving back, really felt like, you know, this was a way for us to build our family. And if adoption was something that happened, fantastic, but that we would also, you know, potentially be, you know, able to help, you know, in some way. And so that's how it started, through our desire to build a family.
Well, congratulations on almost having five in your forever family. That's absolutely beautiful. Now, will the next three kids be coming? Well, they're actually in your home now, right?
They are. Like I was saying earlier, we tend to, it's not really, you know, you never know how long a child will be with you. So it's not like it's intentional on the part of the agency that places the children in our homes. But for some reason, the children who have come to us have ended up, you know, staying for a lot longer than what initially was forecasted for them. So ironically, in this case, these boys, they came to us for what's called a respite weekend. So we committed to caring for them over a weekend, and that weekend turned into a month. The month turned into 6 months, and they've now been with us. It'll be 4 years in March that they've been with us. And the youngest we've had actually right out of the hospital, took him home from the hospital. So it's been a amazing, challenging 4 year journey, but finally we'll be able to call them forever early next year.
Oh, that is such a beautiful story. Well, you know, and I would imagine that you form attachments with each and every one of your foster children. My brother, and so let me finish that sentence though, but if you aren't able to adopt them, that must be very, very difficult. I think about my brother. He and his wife fostered two children, and they were infertile as well, and there was a very strong chance that they would not get these two girls, that they would not be able to adopt them. And we all got on our knees and just simply, you know, prayed our hearts out. And those two girls now, you know, one of them is in nursing school. One of them has a child. I mean, they're all grown up and have been a part of our family for so long. But I know, Lisa, that you've had heartbreaks, haven't you?
Oh, yes, for sure. You don't take in children and love them and care for them as your own, because really that's the calling of foster life, without that heartbreak. But, you know, one of the things that we say is, you know, we know that when we take this risk, that our hearts would be broken, but just think about their hearts and how broken their hearts would be without us. And so for us as adults who are able to process loss and continue to love in ways that God allows us supernaturally, you know, we have to take that risk if we feel that this is how we're being called.
We're talking with Lisa Wheeler, and November, by the way, is National Adoption Month, and we're talking about adoption and foster care. And, you know, you mentioned about it being really for the kids. And one of the things that I have noticed is, you know, there are certain categories of people in our society who are kind of seen as throwaway people. They're not as important as others. And the poor and the homeless are often in that category. But it does seem that children who are awaiting foster parents who, you know, have no family, they're kind of in that category, too. There's very little media attention. The public consciousness is low around them. Talk about why these kids deserve better, Lisa.
Well, you know, you've correctly identified a real issue that we have, particularly as Catholics and as people who call themselves pro-life, in that we're not recognizing the fact that we have this crisis right now in our country. You know, for the listeners out there that maybe are unaware of what is going on in the communities in which they live, every community in this country, but we have over 400,000 children that are in our foster care system across the country. That means over 400 children that don't have a permanent home. Over 100,000 of those children are absolutely 100% legally free for adoption right now. And so, you know, we often hear from people who are interested in adopting, you know, say that they have a heart for adoption, but then, you know, talk about how it's not easy to adopt. And really, that's a completely false statement, when you consider what we are facing here in our country with these children, you know, especially those that are legally free for adoption, 100,000 of them, you know, languishing in our foster system. You know, I speak about this often now these days, and I'm very accustomed to calling it the orphan crisis of our time. And it's right here within, you know, the geographical boundaries of our country.
Well, Lisa, let me ask you a quick question about that. I mean, because I think a lot of people, do they want to adopt a baby? And foster children are a little bit older. Is that what the issue is?
I think it's a combination of things, actually. I think, one, yes, there is a desire on the part of a lot of couples to adopt a newborn for, you know, reasons known, you know, only to them. There are oftentimes sibling groups that end up in foster care. So you're looking at children that come in essence with a brother or a sister, sometimes, you know, many brothers or sisters. Like I talked about earlier, we're adopting three boys that are all related. Mm-hmm. They're all brothers. The other, I think, hesitation is disability. Some of the children come with physical, emotional, maybe even developmental challenges. And those tend to be serious for people, which is understandable until you know.
Yeah.
You know how.
Right. Well, Lisa, let's hold it there for now. We're up against a break here, but we've got a lot more to come talking about adoption and foster care. Stay with us here. I'm Sherry Brownrigg on Catholic Connection. It's Catholic Connection. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tamio, who is on pilgrimage in Rome. Wish I was there with her, but, you know, I also am really glad I'm here with you because we got a great show going on right now. Elizabeth Westhoff is coming up later on in this hour talking about the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Right now talking with Lisa Wheeler about adoption and foster care. November is National Adoption Month, and I also noticed that National Adoption Day, Lisa, is coming up on Saturday, November 23rd, so that's really exciting. And before the break, we were talking about how so many people are, you know, when they are infertile, they can't have children, and they're looking to adopt. They want to have a baby. You often hear about people going to foreign countries to get babies, but you've mentioned that there are 100,000 children right now in the system here who are ready for adoption, and some of the challenges that, maybe not challenges, but some of the perceptions that people are thinking when they look at those children to adopt. And, you know, thinking about the versus getting a baby, an infant from, you know, literally a couple of days old to adopting a child who might be a little older, what's another one of the challenges that people might be perceiving that isn't necessarily the case?
You know, I think the big one really that we hear a lot of times is just that, and there's some truth to it, so I'll just, you know, kind of proceed with that. That the children that are in foster care are broken in some way, whether that's emotionally or, you know, they've been traumatized, you know, physically in some way. And then, in that trauma and that tragedy of how they come into foster care, in some way that child is going to be a challenge to raise. And there is truth to that on some levels, but at the same time, you know, these children come with this opportunity to love beyond what we thought our capacity to love might be. I always describe it as, it, for me personally, that scene from The Grinch, in which, you know, the Grinch finally kind of his eyes have been opened and he really sees what, you know, the true meaning of Christmas is all about. He describes his heart as having grown three times.
Yes.
And really that, you know, in our time as foster parents, I never really knew how much my heart could grow in loving the children that have come into our lives. And what the depth of that love would look like as we journey with them through whatever challenges they have. It almost seems like not to diminish the successes and all of the beauty that comes from natural parenting, but when you parent a child that comes from a difficult background and difficult place, and you see them overcome an obstacle or a challenge that they have, the joy that comes from that is something that is almost hard to explain. It's immeasurable to watch them gain the confidence and display the security that you know that they didn't have, you know, a year ago, a month ago. And so it really is the I often call it the biggest kind of love that God has allowed me to experience in this life. And so I really challenge people who have experienced infertility and have struggled with being able to find the right adoption circumstance for themselves and just explore what the possibilities might be for our kids that are available and waiting. Especially, you know, we're entering the season of Advent and Christmas. And
Christmas, yeah.
When I think about all these kids that don't have permanency for Christmas, it really, that's what breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that there are, you know, 100,000 kids that don't have a permanent family this Christmas.
Yeah, and you actually help in your area, you're in the Atlanta area, that you help children in that area to experience a little bit a better Christmas. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I, again, and this is something that people can discern and consider about doing in their own areas if they feel that the parenting part of foster care is not something that they can do, but they feel called to support us, to support foster families. One of the things that I do here in my local area is we run a Secret Santa program for all of the foster kids. And it's a personal program, meaning that kids through their foster families submit wish lists of the things that they want. They ask for three needs and three wants, and then we match them with local community sponsors. And those are churches, individuals, businesses, ministries. And the kids receive, you know, in most cases, I would say 95% of the time, all of the things that they've asked for on their wish list. And that may seem superficial to some people, but when you are a child that is in a temporary circumstance, you need something that's yours, and something that comes from the desire of your heart. And, you know, if that happens to be a skateboard, then, you know, so be it. But you would be heartbroken by what we see on our wish list, in terms of the things that the kids ask for that they need or they want. You know, we've had children write that that they just want a home, you know, for Christmas. We've had children write that they want their mom to get off drugs. We've had children write in that that they want a Christmas tree because they've never had a Christmas tree before in their home. And so every year, our hearts are broken when we read what these children desire, because it's so simple. I'm sorry, I'm choking up.
No, I'm choked up over here.
Yeah.
So both of us.
I'm actually sitting here in my office right now with, you know, 200 wish lists that I'm in the middle of matching. And it's just, you know, it's happening right here in your backyard, in your, you know, behind your churches, behind your schools. And people need to remember that these children, they are your citizens of the future. These are the children that, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are going to be, you know, the citizens of your community. And we need to do something more to express to them that they're loved and they're wanted, and that we have something to give them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and we as Christians, I mean, our response is to help those who are, well, children of God, you know, they certainly are, but to help those who cannot help themselves. We focus so much on unborn babies, and that's a good focus, but we have to bring some parity in this. And Lisa, I wish we had more time, because honestly, I have a million more questions for you, my friend. But, but you know, if someone wanted to find out more information about adoption, what would you say to them, I guess?
You know, I think the first thing is to start locally. Contact your local Department of Children and Family Services and find out when the next informational meeting is. And then beyond that, if, you know, a person of faith wants a faith experience, then their local, you know, faith agency that handles foster care and adoption.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us. Again, wish we had so much more time, many more questions, and thank you for shedding a light on this important topic. Stay with us on Catholic Connection. Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Sherry Brownrigg, in for Teresa Tamio on pilgrimage in Rome, and she's there with Kelly Wahlquist and the wonderful women of the new women in the new evangelization. And a lot of folks who are going with Kelly and Teresa this time have never been on pilgrimage before, so I really do want to encourage you to keep them in your prayers, because this is going to be a pivotal moment for their faith. Well, I have the extreme pleasure now for the rest of the show to welcome a good friend of mine, Elizabeth Westhoff. She's the director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Yeah, right here in the U.S. And she's also the press secretary for Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke. Good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good morning, Sherry. I just want to make a quick correction. I'm the director of communications for the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Did I miss a word there?
Not the director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Well, you're the grand poobah in my book, so there you go.
Well, thanks. I'll put that on my next set of business cards.
That's right, that's right.
And yeah, you were talking about the pilgrimage that Teresa and Kelly, both of whom are good friends of both of ours, they're on pilgrimage right now to, as I always like to refer to it, the home office. For those of us who work for the Catholic Church. And but you know, you don't have to cross an ocean to take a pilgrimage, to make a pilgrimage. And that's why we are so happy that the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe is here in the beautiful, absolutely stunningly beautiful bluff country of La Crosse, Wisconsin.
It is absolutely phenomenal there. I just want to stop you for a moment. If you've never been to this area, I remember once being in a plane, a little private plane, with then Bishop Burke. He was bishop in La Crosse, and he was flying over the area. We were coming down in for a landing, and he just sighed, and he said, "I could live here forever. It's so beautiful."
Aww. Well, he's informed me that apparently I am going to live here forever. So
get those winter clothes.
I know. He said that during the summer, so I don't know. We'll have to revisit that conversation when it hits about 50 below here. But I just moved here from St. Louis, and at the behest of His Eminence, to help the Shrine with the communications efforts, and as you mentioned, also to take up a new official role of His press secretary. And I'll tell you, being here now, it is interesting. I laughed with some of my coworkers the other day that I've only lived here for 8 months, but I've experienced winter twice already, and I don't know how that's possible, but here we are. It's going to snow again.
God clearly loves you, Elizabeth. Yeah. Well, you know, I interrupted you when you were talking about pilgrimage. Talk about pilgrimage to this particular shrine.
Well, absolutely. It's the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe was established decades ago when, as you said, then Bishop Burke was the Bishop of La Crosse, Wisconsin. And at the time, there was a family in the area that donated about 77 acres of property to Bishop Burke at the time for the sole purpose of putting something on that property that was spiritually uplifting, holy, and sacred. And he said, okay, we will do that, because he had seen sort of the attack on the family already at that time in the 80s, the attack on the sanctity of life after Roe v. Wade in 73. And he knew that there needed to be a place. I mean, the Catholic Church is the largest provider of social services on the planet. You know, there's another faith denomination that uses the tagline, doing the most good. And it always kind of irritates me, because the fact of the matter is we're doing the most good. And we provide poor and, hungry and uneducated and sick people with what they need all the time. But we don't often, outside of our churches, provide what people need to heal their spirit and their soul. And we know from the teachings of the church and what the saints have told us that If you're sinning, if you are spiritually unhealthy, you can be physically unhealthy as well. You can, you know, the sin that somebody commits affects the whole body of the church. And if you are spiritually unwell, or if you are spiritually, let's just say low, right? You know, you need a place to go to help you with that. And so, seeing all of that, then Bishop Burke said, well, this is going to be a shrine to Our Lady of Fatima. And then hearing, the Holy Father, John Paul II, speak in Mexico City about Our Lady of Guadalupe, Archbishop Burke said, no, this has to be Our Lady of Guadalupe. She is the patroness of the Americas. She's the patroness of the unborn. This is to whom this shrine needs to be dedicated. And so, the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe was born. And, since then, you know, we have thousands upon thousands of visitors a year from all over the country, and all over the globe, really, who come to make a pilgrimage. And as I said, you don't have to cross an ocean to make a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage just needs to be an effort that you put forth to make a spiritually uplifting you need to feed your soul, right? And so that's right. What we do here at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So when you come to a Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, you can come into the Pilgrim Center. You'll be welcomed by the staff and the volunteers. And if you need to feed your stomach before you feed your soul, you can stop in at the restaurant, and we'll feed you. And you can get something to eat there. You can stop in at the gift shop because, of course, we're Catholic, so we have gift shops. And then you start on the meditative trail. And you've been there, and you know what it looks like, Sherry.
Yes.
But it's so hard to describe because it's so beautiful. In any weather, I'm seeing that it's beautiful. And so you start up this meditative trail, and the first place you stop is in the Mother of Good Counsel Votive Chapel. And inside the Mother of Good Counsel Votive Chapel is the most amazing, it feels like you're walking into a huge hug, which is ridiculous to say, but it's...
No, that's perfect.
And it's not terribly bright in there. It's like your mom sort of welcoming you home, right? You walk in, and it's not terribly bright in there. We have over 500 blue votive candles that are in a pyramid to echo the pyramids in Mexico. And you walk in, and it just smells Catholic. It looks Catholic. It feels Catholic. But if you're not Catholic, it just is such, like I said, such this big warm hug that your mom's giving you, right? Our Lady is giving you before you start this pilgrimage up to the top of the hill. So you start there, and then as you work your way up the meditative trail, there are different side meditative areas along the way, and the first is to St. Kateri Tekelwitha, who is the first canonized Native American in the United States, and of course, Our Lady of Guadalupe, being the patroness of the Americas, it's important to have Our Lady of St. Kateri Tekelwitha represented as a Native American. And so you can stop there and take a minute to pay her some devotion and ask for her intercession. And then you walk on, and there's a meditative area to St. Joseph the Workman, who is the patron saint of the Diocese of La Crosse. And there's a beautiful bronze there depicting the Holy Family as well as the family who gave the property to Bishop Burke, who's also represented in the bronze right there. And so stop there and ask for the Holy Family's intercession for your family. Or whatever it is that you're needing prayer for. And then you continue your way up and there at the top of the hill, at the end of your pilgrimage on this little meditative trail, is the Shrine Church. And for people who haven't seen the Shrine Church before, it is an architectural wonder, honestly. Duncan Stroik, who is the architect who designed the Shrine Church, is on the faculty at Notre Dame University. And Duncan's view of architecture is that classical architecture had nobility, right? And so churches should be noble and and beautiful, and elevate your mind and your spirit, and your should put you into a mindset that prepares you to honor our Lord. And he has certainly done that in the Shrine Church. It is something that you could easily find in Italy.
Oh yeah.
And here it is nestled in the hills of La Crosse, Wisconsin. And then as you work your way up, Sherry, I know that when you were here over the summer, you spent some time up at the Memorial to the Unborn, which is a really amazing place and is one of the reasons that I think that the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe serves and can serve and should continue to serve as really the primary shrine in the United States for pro-life. We have at the top of this meditative trail this Memorial to the Unborn, where we have a bronze of Our Lady of Guadalupe. In her arms, she's holding three infants. One is African, one is Caucasian, one is Asian, to represent all of us who are her children. And then as you walk around the statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe, as the patroness of the unborn, you walk into a columbarium where the remains of almost 80 infants who were miscarried are laid to rest. And for the parents who were able to take the remains of their unborn children, they're able to lay them to rest at the shrine. And for parents who were not able to retrieve the remains, they can put up a memorial placard. We also have
Elizabeth. I'm going to stop you there just for a moment here because we're up against a break. But I do want our listeners to hang on because there's a lot more that we're going to be talking about after this very very short break. Elizabeth Westhoff is with us. She's the director of communications at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, press secretary for Cardinal Burke. And there's more to come here on Catholic Connection.
It took two stressful years to settle my mother's disorganized estate. We wanted to save our children the headaches created by poor estate planning. We called Jason Negri.
Jason is an estate planning attorney with expertise on end-of-life issues from a Catholic perspective.
He prepared all our documents, and he addressed our concerns regarding end-of-life medical care. We were highly satisfied with the personal service we received from Jason.
Visit jasonnegri.com today. That's jasonnegri.com.
As I tucked my daughter in for the night, I looked at her and said, "Guess what?" And she replied, I know, you love me. You tell me that every day, Mom." Those words never really flowed out of my mouth easily to anyone until I had a child. The reality is there isn't anything more important to God than to love him and each other. Since having a child, those three little words come out of my mouth much more easily, daily and throughout the day to various people. We are spiritual beings in human bodies created by God to love. You just have to read scripture to know that's true. In Jeremiah, God has said, "I have loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness." We're called to even love our enemies. Read about that in the Gospels. Love, it's what God has created us to do and to be. Yet for so many of us, it is so hard to even say, "I love you." This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo. Elizabeth Westhoff is our guest this hour. She's the Director of Communications at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, press secretary for Cardinal Burke. And Elizabeth, we were talking about, you know, just the beauty of the entire place, which is phenomenal, and how it's important for all of us to go there on pilgrimage. But in the few minutes that we have left, what events are planned at the Shrine for the holidays? Is it a good time to visit?
It is a wonderful time to visit, Sherry. Obviously, the landscape is beautiful right now in the winter, but also because of the events we've got coming up. We have Chris Kindle Market coming up the weekend of the 14th, and folks can come and experience an indoor Chris Kindle Market, not so much outdoor because it's really cold up here, but you can come and participate in that, and it's loads of fun. We have St. Nicholas coming for the kids to visit with and give their list to if they want. Maybe you can put in a good word with Santa Claus. And then on December 12th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have all kinds of stuff going on. We've got Mass in the morning. We've got the mariachi band coming out. We've got Las Mananitas, Pan Dulce. We've got it's a really wonderful sort of Mexican-themed feast day because, of course, Our Lady of Guadalupe is a Mexican apparition. And then, though, on the 14th of December, we have a solemn high mass that Cardinal Burke will be celebrating at the shrine at 11 o'clock in the morning. Again, December 14th, solemn high mass at 11 a.m. with the Cardinal. Because, of course, the Cardinal is the founder of the shrine. So it's always lovely to have the founder of a shrine on site. And since the Cardinal lives in Rome, it's always nice when he's able to come back and celebrate our patronal feast with us. And obviously for any of that information, folks can go to our website at guadalupeshrine.org.
GuadalupeShrine.org is, yeah, and I'm on there right now. There's a lot of information there and all sorts of information about how to visit, what to do, you know, how to prepare, those kinds of things. So, Elizabeth, I want to thank you for being with us today. The time goes far too fast because I know there's a lot we can talk about. But I just really want to encourage folks to really consider going on pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And for the events that Elizabeth mentioned, those are highlighted on the website so you can find them very, very easily. So, Elizabeth, thanks for being with us.
Sherry, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's great. All right. So we've got just a couple of seconds left here, but I want to tell you about tomorrow's show. We're going to talk with Dr. Matthew Bunsen about the USCCB meeting going on. And we've got some surprises for you as well. Joan Lewis from Rome. A lot happens here on Catholic Connection, so tune in every day. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo this week. Thanks for listening. May God bless your day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.